sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thank the Lord for this week's prayer that the Lord gave Brother Charles to speak the words that we need to hear, that express to the Lord our needs and the things that we stand in need of. And the Lord is the one who supplies prayer. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have a desire to prayer. To pray, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the words to pray. So we can thank the Lord for the prayer that has already been offered. Thank the Lord for our fellowship. Thank the Lord for our being able to sit together and to sing and to make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. The way the Lord has designed His church is all those things that we stand in need of are supplied to us as we live here in this world. When we come out of this old world for a little while and sit together to worship the Lord. One of our hymns that I often mention is, Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. And that is our purpose for gathering this morning, to give the Lord the praise and the thanks for all that He's done for us. And all we have to do is just stop, think for a little bit how good the Lord has been to each and every one of us. I don't know what all is going on in your life right now, but I know that sometimes we can get overwhelmed with all the things that are not going the right way. Sometimes we can get looking at the world and think, I can't hardly see anything but bad things. We just look, and rather than see all the good that the Lord has done, we just seem to focus on all that's negative and all that's wrong. If you and I just stop for a little bit this morning and with an eye of faith look at all the Lord has done for us, all that He's doing right now in our lives, all the blessings, all the mercy, and all the grace that God has shown unto us. Should we not be here today to adore the Lord our God? Is this not just a duty? And it is a duty, but should this not be our joy? The psalmist said, one thing have I sought of the Lord. I don't believe he meant that that was the only thing, but he said one thing above all other things. He said, one thing have I sought of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. In other words, I'm going to seek after this one thing that I've desired of the Lord. That's going to be the priority, the most important part of my life, is what he's writing. And he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He didn't say that I may dwell in the house of the Lord when I die and get to go home to glory, though I know that was a desire, and it isn't the desire of every little child of grace. When we leave this world, we want to go to heaven. We want to be with the Lord. And what a day that will be when we are gathered to be at home with the Lord. But the psalmist says there's one thing that he desired of the Lord, and that would he seek after, that he would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. That means as he lived here in this world, he had a desire to have communion and fellowship with God. And I'll tell you, that is what will enrich your life and allow you to get through the tough times and the dark times, as well as really appreciate and enjoy the high times that the Lord gives us. Our life is like it's not always a smooth road, is it? There are sometimes high mountains the Lord allows us to climb. And that we get in those heights, those high times. When Dylan and Skyly have that marriage, it's going to be, hopefully for them, a high time. It's going to be one of the highlights, one of the high times. You go into that, you're thinking, everything's going to be great. And I pray that it will be great. But it won't always be up there. It won't always be the wedding day. It won't always be, well, everything's okay. It won't always be everybody's smile and everybody's happy, it's going to be some difficult time. And we've already experienced those. We already know what those are about. There are some high times and there are some low times. There are some times where we feel so lifted up we don't think we're ever going to be down. And then there are some times, some real depths that come where we get so down and we get so low, we'll wonder if we're ever going to be up. I'm going to compete with my granddaughter today and that'll be all right. I'm just glad to hear her voice. And don't worry about it, Mama. It's going to be all right. I remember Elder Charles Alden saying a long time ago, when a preacher can't have a preacher baby, he needs to sit down anyway. And I thought about that. I was a young man when that was happening, and it might have been, might have been Jimmy doing the messing up. So I don't know. I'm so glad I've gotten in. I'm so thankful I can think back of God's grace in my life. I'm thankful for the high times. I'm thankful when he lifted me up sometimes so high I didn't think I'd ever come down. And I'm also thankful for him being with me in the valleys, where he supplied to me in the storm just what I needed. Where he opened the door when I didn't think there was any doors available. The Lord moves. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. I have no idea where I'm going this morning. I thought I did when I stood in the stand. But I'm just so thankful that we have such a God who can take us through the hills and through the valleys. The psalmist said, there's one thing that I've desired of the Lord. Let's just turn to Psalm 27, make sure I'm quoting it just right. But he says in that psalm also that the Lord is my strength, that the Lord is my light, that the Lord is my wisdom. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? As you walk in life, you need a light. And you need salvation. And if you understand that, that gives evidence that God has worked a work of grace in your heart. If you know that you need him. You see, I could say that to the world, and it's true for everybody. I could tell you that you need the Lord, but I'm telling you, unless the Lord has told you already in your heart, unless he's already worked that inside first, unless he's come to you first, my telling you won't be of any benefit. But it's important for me to remind you and tell you again how much you and I need him. And he says here, the Lord is, and I like that thought, that the Lord. He's not a Lord, he's not just some Lord, he's not just a God. You know, sometimes men think I need a God, and they say, well, I'll make me a God. I'll form one, I'll fashion one, I'll go cut down a tree, and I'll carve it and make an image out of it, and I'll bow down to it, and I'll make it look just like me. I believe that image Nebuchadnezzar set up looked like him, don't you? And it was a mighty big image. And he even commanded people to bow down to it. He set it up where everybody could see it, and he called everybody together, and he said, I want you to come and bow down to that image. But there were some Jews there that were not going to bow down to that image. And they told him, we'll not bow down to that image. And, you know, if the Lord is able to save us from a burning fiery furnace, the Lord is able to take care of us. You know how they knew that? Because they'd had some hills and some valleys, hadn't they? They'd been through some storms. They'd been through the tests. They knew that God's been with me in the storm. I ask you, has God been with you in the storm? Has he been with you? I pray he'll be there in that mountaintop. But I pray when the storms hit your life and hit your family, that you'll have him right there with you to be the rock on which your house is built. And when the storms come and the winds blow, and it blows upon that house, Brother Forrest said it this way. He said, a shutter or two might blow off your house, but it's going to stand because it's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not built on Christ, you're in trouble. And if our houses and our lives tonight, today are not built on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in trouble. The good news, there is a Lord who is. He's the Lord.
He's the one who made the world. He made the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. He spoke it into existence. He is the Word, the eternal Word that was with God in the beginning, who verily was God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our house is built on the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ and the words of Christ, and we hear them and we do them, the Scripture says we're likened unto wise men who hear Him and do what He says. And it's like building your house upon a rock. And when the storms come, you may be in the middle of that storm right now. If you're not, give it a little while. It's coming. But it'll stand. You know why it'll stand? Because it's built on Him. The one who is. The Lord is, the psalmist said, He's my light. And we're in a dark world today, don't you think? I'll tell you, this world is so upside down. What's right is being called wrong, and what's wrong is being called right. The right way to go is being pointed at as the wrong way, and the wrong way to go is being pointed at as being the right way. And the Word of God told us that. Didn't tell us that things were going to get better as we lived here in this world. Sometimes we think and thought that maybe it's going to get better. But the Bible says that things are going to wax worse and worse. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Though they've always been evil, they're not going to get better. They're going to wax worse and worse. And you and I could get discouraged about that and say, oh, what are we going to do? Well, I say what we do is what the Bible has told us to do all along, and that's to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Even in this evil world in which we live, we ought to be on our knees praying for our nation. We ought to be on our knees praying for one another. And we surely ought to be on our knees praying for those in the Lord's church. Lord, help them in the midst of the storm. Look to Thee. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He says, whom shall I fear? So when fear starts ruling my life, and I'd like to tell you that it never does, but it sure just pops up with me all the time. I'll be walking along in life and just, you know, have something hit me this way or that way, and next thing you know, I get really afraid. What are we going to do? You ever find yourself kind of falling apart? You don't have to admit to it right now, but I know it's true with you. You know how I know it's true? Because the Bible tells us that we all have that old nature that we're battling with. Even if you're born of the Spirit, first of all, if you're not born of the Spirit, you probably would have said, oh, I don't know what that crazy man's talking about. Let me get out of this place. He's talking about somebody I can't see, I can't know, I don't care about. And no amount of talk is going to convince me to believe what that man believes. I think he's crazy. If you read the seventh chapter of the writings of the Apostle Paul in the Roman letter, and you read about Paul talking about when he would do good, he found evil present with him. And that which he would do, he doesn't do. And that which he wouldn't want to do, that's what he ends up doing. You would think he's certifiably insane if you did not know about the work of grace and the heart of a man that gives him a dual nature, that gives a warfare in your life, that you got a battle going on in you all the time. Brother John O'Donnell used to say it like this. Those of you who knew Brother John O'Donnell, he had Down syndrome, and he was just a sweet little brother, but he could be a cantankerous little fellow too. Sometimes he would come in and he would be so rough and upset, and by the end of the meeting he'd be sitting there crying, pointing to himself. When you're talking about a dead alien sinner and how you know good and rotten to the core, and that little hard-headed fellow would be sitting there hitting on his chest saying, I know that's me. He said it this way, and I thought it was about as clear as anybody. He said, Brother Gary, it's like I got the devil sitting on this shoulder and the Lord sitting on this shoulder, and I just want to say, get out of here, devil. He just wanted to flick him away. You know what he was saying, really, in essence? He's saying that battle that goes on in a believer, in a little child of grace. Some people in the world don't believe that happens. That once you're saved, once you become His child, you don't need that battle anymore. You get to be perfect. You don't have any more battles. You don't have any more struggles. You start living right. If that's the case, then I'm in trouble. And if that's the case, they're in trouble too. Because I've watched men pretty closely. And one thing that I found is what the Bible teaches, that there's none good, no, not one. That they've all sinned, we've all sinned, and come short of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, if the Lord had not worked in us that which is not of us, we would have no good about us. We would never want anything good. You'd never want to sit in a meeting like this or to hear from the Word of God. As a matter of fact, when you heard it, it wouldn't just be okay just to listen to it. It would get on your nerves enough so that you would like to destroy that. If you could, you'd like to stop everyone in this world from preaching anything about the Lord and His goodness and His mercy and His grace, because it does not give men the praise, but it gives God the praise. And men want the praise. That is our nature, to want the praise. You know, it's kind of like that part of you. You can relate to this. I probably feel that you can. That's the part of you that when you do something, you'd like a little credit for it. I'd like someone to say something about what I did. Doesn't that get us in trouble a whole lot? You know, when it'll get a church in trouble. It'll get a family in trouble. Listen, it'll get a marriage in trouble too. I'm preaching to the couple today. And y'all showed up. Don't blame me. You can't. Listen, and what's good for that young couple that's going to need him in their life, that's going to need that friend of sinners, is true for every one of us. I can't make it a day without him. And I need him. I need him to guide me, to direct me. He is my strength and he's my light. Paul was talking about that battle that goes on. That old nature that wants its way. That nature that wants what it wants. And you'll battle that nature. Listen, little child of grace, if you're waiting for that to go away, you're going to be sadly all the days of your life, because that old nature is going to be there, because it's that old body, it's the flesh, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, he tells us in Galatians 5, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a warfare that you and I are going to have to fight. So right now you're in a battle. And you and I need to fight the battle. I looked the verse up on the way to church this morning. Glad nobody was around watching me as I texted into my phone. I'll just confess while I was here. I shouldn't do that, but I do sometimes, especially when I'm on the way to church and I'm late and I got a verse in my mind and it won't come up. I try to find out where it's at. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Are you fighting today? So where is that fight? Sometimes men get that idea, that means I go out there and fight everybody out there. No, our warfare is not against others. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not a carnal, fleshly warfare. It's a spiritual battle. And it's a battle that's going on, raging right in within me and within you. It's a fight of faith where I've got this old nature that would have me. The 7th chapter of the book of Romans lays it out. I've got this old nature that would lead me in this direction. And it leads me in the path of darkness. But thanks be to God, if you're born of the Spirit, He's also put the Spirit of God in you. And I see that all over you today. I see the work of God's grace in your life. I see it when you call a hymn. I see it when you mention a prayer and ask for a prayer request. Why would you ask anybody to pray for somebody if you did not believe there was a God to pray to? And if you did not believe it was beneficial, what purpose would it be to even make a prayer request? The good news is when you see one asking for prayer, and you see one who needs prayer and knows they need prayer, you're seeing evidence of the work of God's grace in the life of someone. Because if you know there is a God, it means He's worked faith in you. You know you need him today. That little sister we tried to talk about last night that came to the Lord, that little Gentile sister that came and the Lord told her, why should I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? And he really looked at her and called her a dog. She just looked at him after he had rebuffed her. Rather than walking away, he came and cried out. She came and worshiped him and cried out, Lord, Help me. Lord, help me. You know why she cried, Lord? Because she believed he was Lord. And today you and I can look to him and he is our light. He is my salvation. You know where your salvation is today? It's in him. I'm glad it's not in me and him, aren't you? I'm glad it's not in what I've done. I'm glad it's not in what I've added to. Some men said he's done all he can do and now the rest is left up to you. That sounds like salvation is in me and him rather than in just him. The Bible says there is no other Savior but the Lord. I am the Lord and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 43 tells us. He says, whom shall I fear? Why should I be afraid? Listen, I don't have to fear as we walk here in this world as I'm trusting and looking into the Lord. And he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let us keep that in mind and in the forefront of our life. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know what David is talking about? God has taken care of me. Can you see that in your life? Has God been with you in your life? Has he taken care of you? Even when those would rise up, sometimes we think they're rising up. I got to get them because they're coming after me. No, don't make that mistake. Listen, he didn't tell us to take up the sword. He didn't say, vengeance is yours. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so how are we to walk like our Savior walked? He didn't fight back in that sense, though he could have. But he trusted his life into the hands of the Father who held it and as our mediator. And yes, he was the same as God. But as man, he trusted in God so that he taught us as men what we're to do. And that is we're to trust in God. We need to turn it over to the Lord. And he said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Isn't it good today we can have someone to be confident in? That's in the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 4. This is my text if I have one. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What's the chief thing in our life? What should be the most important? What should we seek after above every other thing? He says, that will I seek after. This one thing will I seek after. And what is that? He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That means I want to dwell there. That doesn't mean I just want to show up on Sunday morning. That's important. I don't want to just... it doesn't mean that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to come and meet every opportunity that we have. But if the only thing we do is come into church and just sit there for a little while and then go out the door, nothing different, nothing changed, just the same. We're not dwelling in the house of the Lord. We're to do what the hymn writer said, take the name of Jesus with you. That means we take what he has taught us and we wear it. We put it on. We live it in our lives. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That means as I'm living my life, as I'm going through the walk of life, I have a realization and a knowledge, which is awareness and an acknowledgement that Jesus is with me. That he's walking with me, that he's talking with me, that he's watching over me, so that when, it's not if, but when the bad news comes, when the hard times come, when the storm arises, I am not alone in the ship, but I'm trusting in the master of the sea who can say to the sea, peace, be still, or if need be, we can walk right out on that rough water. That's the God that we serve. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what do we get when we are there by the grace of God? We get to behold, that is, we get to see the beauty of the Lord. We have a Savior who loved us so much that he came here into this world and lived a perfect life to fulfill all the righteousness that was necessary that you and I would be clothed upon by him, making us fit for heaven. Bible tells us how there is none good, no, not one. And by the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Which means we can't get ourselves fixed up enough, right enough, good enough to go to heaven. The good news, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That means those who have had the work of grace in their heart and have a love for the things of the Spirit, those that He has done that in, there is now, therefore, because of Jesus, no condemnation. What Jesus did for us at Calvary secured heaven for us, but it also gives us the strength and the ability to live here in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. That's what David desired here. As he said, I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I can see Jesus, that I'm not fainting. One of the last verse in this chapter says, I had fainted unless I had believed. And I say to you, that's where you are today. Unless I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm fainting. Unless I'm leaning on Him, I don't have any other strength. If the Lord's my light, where am I when He's not with me? I'm in the dark. If the Lord is my strength, where am I in the abilities that I need in this world without Him? I don't have any. That's why I need to look to Him as my all in all and my everything. Not in order to become His child, but because He's already done that for me in the work of regeneration. He's given me life. And even before the foundation of the world, He chose me in Christ Jesus. Every one of His little children will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. He says, all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It means we come to the house of God and we say, Lord, teach me what I need to know. And when He teaches us, we're to say what that little sister said that came to Jesus. Truth, Lord. Well, you know, really what she said is amen. When you hear the word of God, what we should say is amen. Sometimes it's really easy because it just fits what you want to hear. But sometimes it's hard. Just to say amen. But for the little child of grace, there is no other pathway of peace. There is no other pathway of rest. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And He came that we might have peace. And He came that we might have life. And He came that we might have it more abundantly. I just pray the Lord would allow us to feed on it each and every day. Not just come to church and get it a little while on Sunday morning. But to dwell in that sense in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. That every day we can behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. And the Lord will feed us. He'll take care of us. He will not fail. That's the thing that bothers me so much about what's called the gospel that's out in the world. It's not a gospel. It's called a gospel. But it's not really the gospel. It's not good news. It really preaches and teaches a failing Jesus who wants to do something He can't get done. Who's made an effort and a plan that didn't meet the needs of everyone that He did it for. What the Bible teaches is a victorious Jesus. A Jesus who came to save His people from their sins. He didn't come to try to do it. He came and did it. He was victorious. He said, it is finished. And the very fact He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now in heaven is evidence that He finished that work. And He's awaiting us to eventually, in time, He will bring forth us. At the moment of death, the soul and the spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord. But there is a time coming when that we will be with Him all together. He'll have everything He bought and paid for, which includes our mortal body. And He's going to change us and make us fashioned like unto His glorious body.
and we're going to be forever with the Lord in heaven. Well, David says, that's sure, but I want to find as much communion with him right now, don't you, as I can. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.